They change cultures. They're heat seekers. They run at adversity and embrace change. These are the Room Tilters.
Somebody who can change the temperature in a room when they walk in. Mm. And that's metaphorical for somebody who can influence those around them and make such an impact quickly, emphatically, and long-lasting, whether it be an organization, a team, a relationship, whatever it might be.
This is the Room Tilters podcast, presented by Limitless Minds. Co-hosts DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, founders of peak performance and leadership consulting company, Limitless Minds, explore how the best and brightest change the temperature in a room. From sports, the military, entertainment and media, clinical psychologists to CEOs, this podcast will navigate what it takes to think big and go far. And now, DJ and Harry.
What's going on? Another Room Tilters, baby.
You know, it's interesting, Harry, as we've kind of been going through this, we've been getting a lot of questions, whether it's, you know, over the webinars, we've been getting things on via social media. I know you were just on Instagram Live here recently. You can kind of, you know, raising your stardom out there, man. I saw you.
Yeah, man. I'm just out there on these streets trying to get recognized. No, I mean, yeah, we got a chance to do some stuff with a Good Man Brand, which is doing a really cool initiative right now called Everyday Heroes, where they're recognizing, heroes of any and all of us, any and all of our heroes, and challenging people to recognize, you know, one to three of their heroes and having them recognize people, right? Just because obviously we're in a unique time with the pandemic and the healthcare challenge that, you know, there's heroes amongst us, family, friends, peers, but also people you don't know, essential workers, first responders, teachers, you know, they're all around, right? So taking the time to recognize those people. So we had a chance to talk about our heroes, what a hero is, what a hero means.
Harry's being modest. Our Room Tilters family, Harry's being very modest. His brother, his baby brother, had him on there as somebody that sees Harry as a hero. And I loved hearing the back and forth and how your brother looks up to you and has taken a bunch of things that, whether you guys learned as kids or even as adults, as you've been able to work together and build a business together, there was some really cool actionable things that you shared with the Instagram audience, man. So, and for those who were not listening or viewing the Instagram Live, Harry got a chance to sing. He went back to the 90s too, man. Tell him a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. We just, you know, I was talking about little Tevin Campbell. I don't know if those who may remember Tevin Campbell, he hit stardom in the 90s, you know, and then fell off. I don't know where he went, Tevin, but it's funny. He had an album called I'm Ready. And that was, I don't know if it was a cassette tape or a CD. CD. I feel like it was a cassette, but whatever. It was my first thing that I had that I put in often and would hide in my room and sing to it. And then my mom would catch me and I'd, you know, turn it off and act like I wasn't singing. But so we brought back some of those memories. Yeah.
That was fun to hear, man. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things, and, you know, we hear it coming up all the time, Harry, as far as people during this time, they're trying to figure out how they can impact their teams and have influence on their teams, how they can have impact on their family and, you know, have the maximum influence on their family. Tell us some of the things that you've seen work that you know, the top leaders, even, you know, as you lead a team. Tell us some of your thoughts around that. And as it pertains to availability, you mentioned that a couple of days ago. I want you to tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we Russell and I were spending some time just defining what a hero is in our own, from our own perspective. And obviously we know that comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes. And at some point it came to me while having this conversation that, you know, when I think about heroes, like just the, when I think about a hero, like a superhero, you know, somebody that like Superman, right? That, or, you know, whomever your superhero of choice would be, right? They're always showing up, right? They're always there. Yeah. You don't expect them to come, or you're wishing that Superman would come and save the day. And, you know, my gosh, he may not show, right? And then all of a sudden he swoops in with the cape and like scoops up the whoever's in distress and like saves the day and like kills the villain and all that sort of stuff. Right. And so, you know, so they always show up, you know, you don't end up, those movies or those comics don't end with like the superhero not being there. right? And I think that from a hero perspective or a leadership perspective, a room tilter perspective, availability seems to really correlate, right? You know, we talk about the best ability is availability, whether it be in sports, business, relationships, you know, being available, you know, is what kind of, you know, creates trust, which what allows you to build empathy, right? Because you're there, you've built the equity with whomever, right? Or whatever,
right?
To be able to, you know, kind of authentically be empathetic, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that availability is critical, because when if you're not available, then the consequence of not being available is essentially not being somebody that people can count on, right? Which breaks down trust and creates more uncertainty. Let's say you're in a leadership role or with your family, you know, with spouse, whatever it might be, just uncertainty that creates, you know, a lot of chaos and kind of ends up being a snowball effect. And mm-hmm. and again, you know, in Russell's world, as we were talking about with him, you know, he's been a quarterback, knock on wood, that's been available for every single game in his career thus far for the better part of a decade, hasn't missed one. I think he's missed two practices, and those were to go to funerals for some friends. And then he also went, you know, maybe three or four straight years in college without missing a game as well. So he's probably played 11 or 12 straight years. And so that availability, it, you know, sets you apart. It's like, you know, I remember watching this old VH1 original movie, right? It was like, it was like the Jackson 5. Remember that Jackson 5 movie they did?
They had the Jackson 5 or the 5 Heartbeats was maybe one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they might've done some other specials, but like this one was like the Jackson 5 story, right?
Nice.
And I remember part of that story was Michael was little, and his dad told him, you know, never put down the mic. Like, don't give the mic to anybody else. Like, hold that mic. Like, it was important to that. It was kind of like, don't let anybody else take the opportunity. Right. Somebody else get your opportunity, right? And then all of a sudden it's theirs. And you see that a lot with, like, you know, athletes. They get hurt, and then somebody else, the young up and comer comes, takes the spot, and then they never get it back. That happened with Drew Bledsoe, right? Tom Brady took that man's spot because Drew was hurt, right? And then never gave it back.
Man, that's interesting. So, you know, like, because, so do you think, Harry, do you think that, like, you know, because you said it, and I hope the listeners heard that the best ability is availability. I absolutely love that. But do you think that when there's a situation and somebody might be, you know, we talk about sometimes hurt versus injured, right? And like, Is there a certain amount of heart, or, you know, or is there a secret sauce that somebody has to have to be able to be available? Is it just like you're wired like that? You know, is this something that can be learned? Tell me about that, because not everybody's available, right?
Well, I mean, this kind of sounds really simple, right? But I think you just have to really actually give a damn and care, right? Because, you know, we'll take the sports analogy first, then we'll take some other analogies. So first. Uh-huh. In sports, if you know, people that maybe, you know, obviously if you're truly injured, right, then that's a different story, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you're hurt, to your point, you know, and you have the ability to play, if you will, it becomes a choice that you're making, right? And the choice is around, you know, do you really love the game, whether it be football, basketball, whatever the sport is? Do you really love it, or is this just maybe kind of a reason to bow out, you know, from the pressure or the stress, right? Is it time to bow out because, you know, you're scared, right? Or is it time to bow because you really just don't, man, I don't, like, I'm not even sure if I really even want to play, right? Or I'm feeling a little, over it, right? And so, you know, you've seen that with peers on the field or the court or whatever, you know, people that, like, you're like, I think this person can play. They're just being selfish. They don't really care about their teammates and how they're impacting the game plan and what's happening. Like in business, you know, in sales, like I've been in sales, whether it be medical device or pharma, mm-hmm. being available is critical because, you know, if you're not there, somebody else is there selling a product that competes against it. Right. And so, and I, you know, especially in pharma, you know, we see a lot of our peers that we had, right, take a lot of shortcuts, you know, pharma is a space where if you want to, especially once you figure out your territory, you could work from 10 to 2, right? And you know your territory really well. So you still call on the same doctors you would call on from 8 to 5, theoretically, right? Mm-hmm. So why not shorten your day? You know, maybe get a nice workout in the morning, then play golf in the afternoon, pick up your dry cleaning, hit the mall up, whatever it is. But, you know, meanwhile, somebody else is in your offices, right? Or, mm-hmm. or in some offices that you haven't been in selling product, right? Or you might be, I know that that's happened in the medical device space, right? I mean, anybody who's listening that might, you know, sell in the OR space or have some friends that's on the OR spaces, you know, a lot of the challenge is just being there when Dr. So-and-so has a case, you know, that you can be in and bring your product and bring your implants, bring your instruments in or whatever it might be. And so, you know, a lot of it's just getting that opportunity by being available, being there. I think that's critical. But I think to the point, caring. Like, so if I don't care enough, then there's gonna be times where I'm not really saddled up. I'm not really, you know, that's gonna probably dictate how available I make myself.
And you know, it's easy to care about things that you're passionate about, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, so you know when you're first starting your career, you know, and you're trying to figure out what you want to do, you ask one of your mentors, or you know, your father, your mother, whoever is important to you, say, you know, what should I do? What type of job should I go for? A career should I pursue? They always say, you know, do what you're passionate about, right?
Right.
And sometimes we listen to that at the very beginning, and sometimes we don't. And but ultimately, I think you're more available, you know, especially based on what you're saying today. And do you care about something if you're passionate about it?
Well, I mean, I think that's critical too, right? When you think about, you know, heroes and you know, we talk about people a lot, and the people that are, you know, the most heroic to you are the people that are available to you and show up and when they want, it's because they're passionate, right, about their relationship with you, right, or the relationship with the situation or the environment, whatever it is. And those are the people that you roll with the most, right? There's probably people in your life, like your boy Pete. You know, y'all know each other since you were young, right? And it's probably
9 years old. Yeah,
that's right. And so again, you're 57. How old are you? that's 40. Yeah, carry the two. Okay, that's 40. Yeah, I mean, that's been almost 50 years. You know what I mean? No, I was playing. But y'all been tight, you know, for 30 plus years, right?
Yeah.
And so, but so on those 30 plus years, there are situations, probably hundreds of them, where you or he, right, have shown up for each other and in times of crisis, and then also just little micro moments that really probably didn't mean much at the time. But now they do. I have friends like that, you know, they're not always perfect, right? They're not always, you know, they're not always, you know, kind of like your best friend, but if they called me right now, mm-hmm. I'd be there in a drop of a hat, you know, to wear that cape and swoop up and try to do my part.
Yeah, no, it's a great, you know, we often think too, in times of being available in times of, you know, crisis or, you know, some kind of challenge. But like, I think about Pete too. It's like, you know, or even you. And, you know, when something good happens, right, you know, who are you going to call, right? You know, that's you want, and are they available to kind of hear the good news? And, you know, Pete's somebody that's always like that. Like, you know, I've been able to, since we were 9, when we first met playing basketball, you know, whether it's good times or bad times, he's available. And, you know, and that's, and I'm sure you see that with guys like Jeff and folks that are in your life too, as well, whether it's friends or family. So that's good, man. I'm glad you dropped that knowledge. The best ability is availability. I had to bring that up on this podcast because it really hit me a couple of days ago when I heard it. So, you know, we talk about another thing, Harry. You know, I've been, you know, pretty passionate about this in terms of, you know, some of our sidebar conversations, this difference between stress and pressure and like, and how it relates to kind of what we're going on now, what's going on now. You know, I have some thoughts about this, you know, when I look in and think about, you know, stress, right. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that are wrapped around how do we manage, you know, and deal with stress and pressure. The thing that really comes top of mind, and I also want to get some of your thoughts on it, but like, with stress, we see a lot of people that are either, you know, kind of some negative Nellies, some of the bottom performers, whether it's people I'm leading or even folks in your family, whatever it is, they really focus on, you know, stress and not having certain things or resources, whatever that is at that time, that can cause a lot of stress. Where I've seen, you know, the top performers kind of lean into, you know, the difference between stress and pressure is that pressure is oftentimes wrapped around performance. And, you know, and where I got this from, I was reading a Forbes article magazine that kind of talked about the differences between the two. And I was just fascinated about how it related to kind of what was going on today. And when we see those two broken down, whether it's stress or pressure, people can either look back at some of the stresses and the things that are going on, or they can look forward and embrace the pressure, looking at it as a privilege. We talk a lot about how pressure is a privilege, and see what they can do tactically to be able to set up a plan, develop a plan so that they can get their ultimate result. And that's impacting people, that's driving results in their business, driving results at home. But what's your thoughts around stress and pressure?
For the listeners, you know, the article that DJ is referencing, written by Amy Morin, who's a contributor for Forbes, is called "Your Failure to Differentiate Stress from Pressure Could Be Your Downfall." So you can check it out, you know, as a reference point.
Yeah, but, we can put that in the show notes too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right. But I think that, you know, the way that I interpreted that article, you know, in differentiating stress and pressure was, you know, stress being an emotion or a feeling that's really built around all of the things that you're overwhelmed by, you know, like you said, lack of resources. Whereas pressure is more of a reaction to the call to be productive or the call to perform. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think to your point on like how top performers handle stress versus pressure, I think the pressure piece is the differentiator for high performers. I think that high performers tend to have a plan to kind of combat pressure. That's, you know, I think that like pressure bringing privilege is more of like a philosophy around like if you're in a pressure situation, see it as a privilege because it's only pressure because people have high expectations or you have high expectations for yourself or it's a big moment. And big moments are only created by, you know, the things that you've done to get there and those types of things, right?
Right.
So I think that top performers handle pressure by focusing on their preparation, trusting their preparation, putting in the time, you know, leading up to the big moment. Right. So that way it's second nature and so on and so forth. I think stress tends to be really something that's more referring to like, you know, all the demands of it. I think stress is more of a result of pressure and maybe mismanaging pressure. Those that manage pressure accurately feel less stressful. You know, those that think or have the wrong perspective on pressure are the ones that have increased stress as a result. So I think it's more of a like cause and effect as it relates to pressure and stress. Like pressure is the cause and stresses the effect in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that like, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're in a high pressure situation, right, there's things that you can focus on to kind of, you know, slow yourself down a little bit. I know Russ gives the example of, I think it was the first Super Bowl when was at MetLife Stadium. Is that correct? Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I remember him telling us that, you know, he found a spot in the stadium because he knows that's a high pressure situation, right? You're in your first Super Bowl, you're, you know, 20, you know, whatever years old. For him, it was finding that MetLife sign and focusing on the life, you know, the word life, where he could just look up and know that at any point he could, you know, glance up there and realize that you know, that word would slow him down because that meant something to him from, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, you know, from the fact that he knows that he was, you know, given this life in terms of to be able to lead his team. And so that one word was able to slow him down in a high pressure situation. I find myself doing that, man, with, you know, for me, it's a Bible verse, right?
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And Philippians 4:13, and that for me, when I'm going through any kind of adversity or crisis, I can go right to that verse and that scripture, and it slows me down in a way that I say, you know what, I can get through this. You know, is it really that stressful? You know, you and I mean, listen, when you're building a business, there are a lot of stressful situations that come up, right? We got what 10 people that we you know are leading and ultimately. You know, the pressure of having to provide, you know, not only for our families, but for theirs too, as well. How do you handle that pressure? How do you slow down? When things get really, really stressful. And I know a lot of times you and I will say, hey, listen, let's just take a breath. You know, let's step back. Maybe it's an hour, you know, maybe it's a day, maybe it's a weekend. But typically when you give it a little bit of time to breathe, that time allows you to be able to do what you need to do, whether it's talk to a mentor, whether it's pray on it, whether it's just, you know, whatever it is that you got to do, go back and read an article. But when you go into that situation that's stressful, it seems a lot less stressful because you prepared for it.
Well, you know, so the article in Forbes, you know, talks about choices under stress. So, you know, under stress, you have a lot of choices theoretically, right? You could get your endorphins in motion, right? Do some exercise, right?
Yeah.
You could do a lot of different things to manage your stress. Go for a walk, whatever it is, right? Make that call to your mom, whatever you want to do. Like, there's things to manage stress and to kind of offload some of the overwhelming things that you have to do. And they give this analogy of a Navy SEAL who's involved in a do or die rescue mission, right?
I love that. Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of time to perform yoga or meditate, right? And so at those moments, knowing that you are in a pressure moment, that's your cue to focus just on the performance, and that will meet the demand of the task at hand. Because let's say you've practiced X, Y, and Z, the sales call, right? Or, you know, that jump shot under with 4 seconds left, or whatever the scenario is, right? You know, you've practiced that. So you can believe in those behaviors that you put in place. And so you just focus on the performance of it when you're under pressure. And under stress, you just got to think about it as, okay, how can I offload some of the things that are creating the stress, some of the things that are creating, you know, this feeling of being overwhelmed? How can I offload that? Or how can I maybe do something that I know it works for me, right? If it is yoga, if it is meditation, if it is going for a walk, is it closing my computer down and doing something different? Is it watching Netflix? Whatever it is, stress is more of a feeling of being overwhelmed. And again, being overwhelmed potentially by the pressure to perform. So I think that's the distinction between the two. You know, DJ, in that article, I think they talk about the consequences of confusing stress and pressure. How did that resonate with you? And share that a little bit with the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I think the consequence of not understanding the two is that I think that if you mix the two up too much and you don't know a clear delineation of the difference between the two, you'll end up focusing too much on the negative. When I look at the two definitions, when I look at stress, stress is always about what has been taken away from you. Like what change has happened. So a lot of times you're looking back. Whereas when I look at pressure and you take and see what the article says about pressure, it's all based around performance. It doesn't mean that there's certain facts that are extremely neutral that are what they are. But what are you going to do as a result to be able to perform at a level to have the maximum impact over your family, over the people you're leading, over the individuals around you, the folks in your neighborhood? So understanding the differences between stress and pressure, being able to have a plan for the two are extremely important, especially during this time.
You know, DJ, one thing I want to add is this is I heard this on a podcast, like a fitness podcast with our guy, David Freeman, who was on.
My man, D-Free.
But they were talking about, understanding the difference between hunger and thirst, meaning that from a dietary perspective, this is something I've been trying to activate, is a lot of times, you want to eat, right? Because you feel hungry, but in reality, you're just dehydrated and you haven't drank. Most people don't drink nearly enough water, right? And so,
so
the consequence of not drinking enough water or confusing hunger and thirst is that you eat poorly, right? Mm-hmm. And by eating poorly, you obviously the consequences there, right? Gain weight, right? Or feeling terrible and all that type of stuff. So I mean, it's very similar to me, right? Is understanding the difference between stress and pressure is very similar to understanding the difference between thirst and hunger, right? And so, I think that the opportunity is, because I think if you walk around constantly thinking you're under pressure, you'll believe that you have to be successful all the time, right? And that's a lot of pressure. And so that distortion can cause us to feel like we're always under the gun. And that's what, is kind of placed in that article. It's like you're actually creating more pressure for yourself.
Hey, so Harry, great stuff, man. We got a chance to get some of the questions answered from, the field. And I think we hopefully added some value to the listeners here.
Yeah, man. No, I think that was a good conversation. I think that, in talking about, availability as it pertains to, being a room tilter, as it pertains to being a hero. Shout out to Good Man Brand for their Everyday Heroes campaign. And then also just that distinction between stress and pressure. I think that's a tough one, right? I mean, that's a really tough question of stress and pressure. What's the difference? And so certainly as our listeners listen, kind of get a chance to engage in this podcast, I'd love to, hear from them on how they think stress and pressure are different. Maybe we can kind of do a part two on that.
That's awesome.
But yeah. So
yeah. Hey, thanks. Thanks, Harry. Thanks for your time, man. We'll talk soon.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Room Tilters podcast, hosted by DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson. presented by Limitless Minds.